2 Kings chapter 10 and verse 16 is going to be a little jumping off point for my lesson here tonight. 2 Kings chapter 10 and verse 16, if you'd like to turn there and read that with me here in a few moments as we begin our lesson. Before we do that, I'd like to continue on an announcement already made and welcoming everyone out with us tonight. Thank you for being here. I know there's other places you could be. The fact that you've chosen and made the effort to be here tonight says a lot about you and your love for God. And I appreciate that very much. We've come here for no other purpose than to bring all the honor and glory to God, to praise Him, to worship Him, and to edify and to build up one another in the most holy faith. And this evening, we're going to do that by preaching and teaching the Word of God. In Acts chapter 20, verse 32, the Apostle Paul there said, "I commend you to the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up and provide you an inheritance among those which are sanctified." And so I hope that each and every one of us will appreciate tonight as I bring forward my lesson. I'm going to provide you book, chapter, and verse from the Bible, the Word of God, for everything that I'm going to preach and teach here tonight. So you might know where they're coming from and know why it is that if we will allow it, it'd be so edifying and encouraging for you and I as we close this day of worship and begin a new week. In the book of 2 Kings, in chapter 10, we find Jehonadab joining with Jehu to rid Israel of Baal worship. And in verse 16, we read, "Come with me and see my zeal for the Lord." I like that phrase, "come and see my zeal." I like zeal, don't you? You've got to have a little zeal in your life. If you're going to accomplish anything, there's going to have to be some zeal behind it. Zeal is defined this way: enthusiastic devotion for a cause or an idea or a goal, and tireless diligence in its furtherance. I'll read it one more time. Enthusiastic devotion for a cause, an idea, or a goal, and a tireless diligence in its furtherance. Come, see my zeal for the Lord. We got zeal for all kinds of things. Zeal for basketball, zeal for football, zeal for NASCAR. I'm just zealous of all those things. And what I want you to understand here tonight is this man had a zeal for the Lord. And it would do well for all of us here this evening to cultivate that idea. Enthusiasm, devotion to a cause, tireless diligence in its furtherance. Synonyms of zeal: enthusiasm, passion, fanaticism. We don't like to hear that word, do we? Fanaticism, fervor, ardor. All synonyms. What's an antonym? Apathy, indifference, lack of interest, laziness, boredom, lethargy. And what you'd appreciate is that all those synonyms of zeal are contagious. 20 years ago, the first time I worked for the sector company that I work for now, the Conair Company, I went around and I talked about aluminum. And I fired people up. People wanted to buy aluminum because I was zealous and that enthusiasm was contagious. But I also want you to understand that so is apathy, lethargy, and a lack of interest. It's contagious. And one of the reasons why I bring forth this lesson here this evening is because I want you to appreciate, here was a man, he said, "I want you to come and I want you to see my passion for the Lord. I want you to see my enthusiasm firsthand." And he brought him up into his chariot. And they destroyed all those people and all those things in Israel that worshiped false gods at that time. Well, this evening, not just the beginning of our lesson here tonight, thinking about this idea of zeal, I want you to appreciate here tonight that zeal is needed. The psalmist said in Psalm 69 and verse 9, "For the zeal of thine house have eaten me up." We studied that and saw the fruition of that in John chapter 2, verses 12 through 17, when we saw Jesus coming in and driving out those money changers and those who sold all the cattle and the doves. His enthusiasm in regards to keeping his Father's house pure was seen. In the book of 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 2, Paul said, "For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to those in Macedonia and Achaia, and your zeal has provoked many." Zeal provokes folks to be enthusiastic. It provokes folks to have passion. And it is contagious, and it is needed in every cause of life. In anything where you see someone being successful on a grand scale, you're going to find words like passion. That was my passion. Passionate about it. They were zeal. And so it will be in regards to our cause and your cause in the cause of Christ. In Titus chapter 2 verse 14, Paul said, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify himself a peculiar people. Now watch it. Zealous of good works. That's the reason why Jesus died on the cross, so that you might have a little passion about what it is that he did. Not just for you, but others. When you think about and contemplate what Jesus Christ did at the scene of the cross, how can words like apathy, lack of interest, and boredom surround that idea? That's the reason why it is that we are to be zealous of the things that God has done and asks us to do. In Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 through 19, one of the seven churches of Asia is a church named Laodicea. You may recall them. They were neither hot, neither were they cold. They were lukewarm. And Jesus said, I wish you were either just completely apathetic or you were zealous. And because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. He said, repent therefore and be zealous. Change your mind, change your attitude, and make up your mind you're going to have some passion in regards to the things that we're going to do. This zeal moved these folks to go do something. It was a call to action. And what I'd like to do here for just the next 11, 12 minutes is talk to you about some areas here tonight that we need to have a little zeal and challenge you on that. First of all, when it comes to preaching the gospel, there needs to be a little zeal, a little passion in our life. Jesus said in Mark 16 and verse 15, he gave us the marching orders. Now listen, let me just stop here for a second. Take me off the clock. Did a number of gospel meetings in my career as a gospel preacher. And you'd be shocked at how many times I'd stand before a throng, sometimes overflowing building. And I might start with Mark chapter 16, 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And half the crowd. Oh, I bet you we're going to preach something new. I know all about that. What I want you to understand is that call can never get old. It can never be boring. We can't have some lethargy in regards to that. We need to be zealous of that command that Jesus Christ gave. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes it and is baptized shall be saved. The salvation of eternal souls are at stake. How can you not but be passionate in regards to that? In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, Jesus talking to those apostles, he said, you will be my witnesses in Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world. You're going to go everywhere and you're going to be zealous. And we see that. We see that in the Philip evangelist in Acts chapter 8 and verse 30 when it says, and Philip ran. He ran to the eunuch when the Spirit said, go join yourself to this man who's out in the desert, out in Gaza. And Philip ran. I preach a sermon sometimes entitled Bible Runners. A whole lot of them. Because they were zealous in regards to what it was that they were going to do. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of that gospel. Christ is the power of God and the salvation to those who believe it. How can you not but have some passion? He said in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which you've also received, wherein you stand, by which also you are saved. If you keep in memory of the things I preached, unless you believe in vain, for I delivered to you first of all that I also received how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scripture, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scripture. Can you go tell people that? That Jesus Christ died for our sins, and they buried him in vain, because on the third day he rose from the dead, and declared with power to be the Son of God. That he will be our judge one day. Romans 1 and verse 4, Acts 17 and verse 31. I've had folks say that I'm passionate in my preaching. I've had folks sometimes say, how is it that every time you preach, you seem to be full of some enthusiasm? There's two reasons. One, this might be the last sermon I ever preach. I want it to be a good one. Number
two. It might be the last sermon you ever hear. And because of that, it is worthy of some effort that is described by words like passionate, zealous. Those are contagious words when it comes to preaching the gospel. When it comes to our worship, we need to have some zeal. In the book of John in chapter 4, verse 24, I read, God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That is, with the right emotion, the right attitude, the right energy of the inward man being engaged in what it is that you're doing according to the word of God, the truth. The inward man is fully engaged. Many, ladies and gentlemen, come to worship services of the Lord's people all over today, and because of a lack of zeal, they will not ever come back. Because zeal is contagious. Many, like Israelites of old, in Malachi 1 and verse 13, is there God through that prophet spoke to them in regards to his worship, where they just said, oh, what a weirdness it is. You ever said that? You ever thought that? Oh, time to go again. Oh, what a weariness it is to have to come and to worship God. And what I want you to appreciate there, that now we're falling in kind of in the antonym column of apathy and indifference and a lack of interest. Because there is nothing to lack interest when it comes to worshiping the Creator of this universe. In Matthew chapter 15 and verse 8, for these people draw nigh unto me with their lips, and honor for me with their mouth, but their heart is far from me. Ladies and gentlemen, here this evening, I want to challenge you to have a little enthusiasm and zeal when it comes to your worship, when it comes to coming to services. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 10 and verse 25, forsaking not the assembling of ourselves as the habit of some is, but rather exhorting one another as you see the day approaching. Why is it that so many folks will not return to a service on Sunday evening or a Wednesday night, or may not attend a vacation Bible school or a gospel meeting? I would suggest to you, kindly, yet firmly, that many times it's because of a lack of interest. Remember that was the antonym of zeal, you see. They just wasn't passionate about coming and serving God. David said in Psalms 122 and verse 1, behold, I was glad when they said, come, let us go into the house of the Lord. I wasn't always passionate about coming to services. I was a little boy. My mom and dad were restored, going to Pekin. They drug me to church. I missed Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom and Walt Disney World, Wonderful World of Disney. They were in reruns, Sharon. Don't laugh. I'm not that old. No, they were first runs. I can remember when we had vacation Bible school at Pekin, and I thought that was the height of twisting of words when they said vacation Bible school. I thought it meant I didn't have to go to Bible class. I had to go every day. What did these people do? Vacation Bible school. I was glad when they said, come, let us go to the house of the Lord, David said. And that is what we've got to cultivate. And ladies and gentlemen, you can cultivate it, and you can cultivate it all by yourself. The song leader doesn't have to be better. The preacher doesn't have to be more enthusiastic or preach shorter lessons. It is a mindset that you cultivate and you're on your own. David said, I was glad when they said, come, let us go to the house of the Lord. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you might grow thereby. Desire, cultivate in your life. I want to know more, I want to study more often, and I'm glad when those doors are open. Have a little zeal when it comes to participating in our singing. We talked about worship, let's get specific. Paul said in Ephesians 5 and verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Again, Colossians 3 and verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another through psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And we need to have a little passion when we do that. Because why? Because I'm admonishing you. It's not that I'm singing so that you can just hear my wonderful voice. It is because God has given me the directive that one of the ways it is that one, he's worshipped, and two, my brethren are edified, and I am speaking to them these words of admonition through these psalms and hymns and spiritual songs is through my singing. And there needs to be a little passion in that, and you don't have to be a big congregation to have passion in your singing. Matter of fact, one of the largest congregations I ever preached at, I can still remember a song leader one time telling us, please be seated and let us sing, stand up for Jesus. And I thought, And that's about the way we sung it, as we were all sitting down. Don't miss the point. It was the attitude, it was the energy, it was the passion in regards to singing and teaching the words of God and admonishing those behind me. I heard those passages, and I even preached those passages for a couple years, and I can still remember coming back and visiting at Pekin, and one of my uncles were starting to visit and attend. My father was talking to him about the gospel, and he was sitting in front of my father, and the songs of invitation was being sung, and there was probably 120, 130 people there that evening, and I could hear my father over everybody. And I kind of kidded him about it later. And he said, well, your uncle was there tonight. And you know, teaching and admonishing one another through songs and hymns. That's what it says. That's what it's all about. It's not just how melodious we can all sound or who sings the best. Who could win the Grammy if someone would just hear them saying. It's about some passion. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 15. When it comes to doing things to the authority of God, in Colossians 3 and verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the authority or by the authority of the Lord and Jesus Christ. Matthew 28 and 18, Jesus said, all authority has been given unto me in heaven is as well upon the earth. And I need to have passion when it comes to looking for the authority to do the things that we do. We speak, as we heard before, the statement being made, we speak where the Bible speaks, we're silent where the Bible is silent, we do the things the Lord has told us to do. In 1 Peter 4, verse 11, if any man speak, let him speak the utterances of God, that God in all things may be glorified. When we step outside the authority, you see, of what it is the Lord has commanded, then any honor and any glory that is accomplished by that act is not God's. That's what Jeff Hunt came up with. What Ron Thompson came up with. But you see, the way God is glorified is when we submit to His will and we see the bountiful harvest, because it was all done by the authority of God. And we need to have a little passion about that. That's the reason why we earnestly contend for the faith, Jude verse 3. Because therein is the authority given to us by God for the things that we say or do. And I need to have a little passion about that. And finally, when it comes to putting the Lord first in my life, Matthew 6 and verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Once again, zeal, passion, to fulfill that command that no matter what, come what may, God comes first. When it comes to work, when it comes to recreation, when it comes to relationships, I'm putting the Lord first. The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the Apostle Paul is talking there about a collection for the saints, poor saints in Judea. Those in Macedonia were poor folks themselves. And they gave more abundantly than Paul ever imagined they would give. And he said they did it because in 2 Corinthians 8 verse 5, they first gave themselves to the Lord. How is it that you could reach down in your pocket and only find 2 pennies? And you take those 2 pennies and you throw them in and say, give it to somebody else. There's only one way. And that is before you reached in there and gave your money away, you reached right here and you gave your life away to God. And the only way you're ever going to accomplish that is with a little passion, a little enthusiasm, a little bit of zeal. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Ladies and gentlemen, we need zeal in our lives. We need zeal in our gospel preaching. We need zeal in our worship. We need zeal when it comes to coming to services and in our singing. We need zeal when it comes to submitting to the Lord's authority. And we need zeal in putting the Lord first. I'm glad, ladies and gentlemen, as I think about zeal, and I think about God, and I think about Jesus Christ and what he did, I am glad that Jesus had more zeal to save me than I have to save myself sometimes. You and I, ladies and gentlemen, need to cultivate a little passion, a little enthusiasm, a little zeal when it comes to the cause of Christ. You listen well tonight. I appreciate that very much. We're about to stand to sing a song of invitation to encourage you here tonight. Maybe you've not been obedient to the words, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. You can do that very thing tonight. Maybe there's other things that you may need to help you get back on the straight and narrow path that leads from this low ground to heaven above. If the Lord will allow us to do that, we'll do that for you here tonight. We extend the Lord's invitation into you and sing a song to encourage you. So if you suffer to me anyway, come forward now and stand as we sing.
Would you live for Jesus and be always pure and good? Would you walk with him within the narrow?